If you want to give, you can go to claytonag.org and you can contribute financially to the ministry here. I want the rest of you to take your Bibles this morning and I want you to stand. I'm going to put some of you on the spot. I want you to help your pastor remember to do this. I've seen it done and I do believe it's important. I want you to stand every week when we go to read the text. We stand in honor of God's word. Find 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. And do not sit down when we finish reading it. Remain standing. Title of the message this morning is Strangers on a Journey. It says, Dear friends, I urge you as aliens. And you'll see on the screen I've added some synonyms there. Pilgrims and strangers or sojourners. Also one version in translation says foreigners and temporary residents. Peter says, Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. I will tell you today we're going to focus on verse 11, next week verse 12. I want you to take your Bibles. I've seen this done. And I've hesitated to do it, but I've decided we're going to do it at least once in a while. Take your Bible, go to the next slide, and I want you to hold that Bible up. If you're using your phone, hold your phone up, that's okay. And I want you to repeat this with me. I want you to say, this is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what the Bible says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive, and I will never be the same again. Never, 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 in Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now you say, Pastor, why are we going to do that? Because you know what? I think it's time that we all fully understand that when we hear God's word taught or preached, it ought to change us in some way, and if it's not changing us at least a little bit, we got to figure out where the problem is. And I will tell you from experience, the problem when I'm sitting in where you're sitting right now, if the word that is brought forth doesn't change me, it's usually not the fault of the one bringing it. It's me because I'm not receiving. God's word always goes forth to make a change and a difference. As Brother Ken George, our former district superintendent, who today would be his birthday if he were still alive, as he used to say, he said, if I can sit there and listen to a poorly put together sermon by a Bible college student, it only lasts 10 minutes, but if it's God's word, it will change me in some way. Amen? Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, get ready to hear from God, and you may be seated. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Now, one thing I want to make you aware of is a reminder that the overarching theme of 1 Peter is how to suffer properly as a believer. Can I just tell you, if you look around our world today and you look at what the Word of God says is going to happen in the end times, can I tell you the return of Jesus Christ is close? It can't help but be close. Now, granted, close in God's time frame and close in our time frame doesn't always equal up, but I'll tell you, things are rapidly coming to a point where Christ is going to have to come. Based on what his word says, it's coming. And part of what we're going to have to realize is as we draw closer to that time, we as believers are going to suffer more than we ever have. But that's okay. We need to understand what God's word tells us to do. When we see the suffering coming and we experience the suffering, the Bible says what? Look up. Our salvation, our redemption is getting closer. Amen? So let's see what Peter has to say to us today. The first thing he says is he's addressing aliens and strangers. He's talking about our citizenship. And I looked it up. Because I know citizenship means to be a citizen. And I wasn't satisfied with that. So I dug a little deeper. Citizenship is the state of being vested with the rights, privileges, and duties of a legally recognized subject of a state or commonwealth. To be a citizen means that you put something into it to get something out. Can I tell you what the problem is with so many of our communities today? And I'm a native New Mexican, and I love my state. And I have now lived in, I've lived in Albuquerque on more than two occasions, our largest city. I grew up in a medium-sized community, and I have now pastored in three smaller communities. This is not the smallest of the three, by the way. This one and the first one are about the same size. The second one was really small. I don't remember the population. It was about 250 people. Can I tell you why so many of our communities are in the shape they're in? It's because the citizens are not vested in the community for the betterment of everybody around them. That's what citizenship is about. But Peter tells us, he says, in this world, you need to understand, you are aliens and strangers. Can I tell you that part of our problem today is that we have grounded our citizenship roots so deeply in this world that we have forgotten that our citizenship is not in this world, it's in heaven. Now, I believe in being a good citizen to my community. I believe in being patriotic. I believe in doing what I can for this town and this county and this state and this nation. But I'm going to tell you something. So many of us have gotten so focused on the temporary here and now that we forget this is all dress rehearsal for eternity. The way you live life now is simply you preparing for what you're going to be able to do in eternity and where you're going to live in eternity. I'm going to look back here at my tech person. Do we have a problem? Is it not working? That's all right. We'll just go this way if we need to, right here. Can you get it? Huh? All right. I have seen in my lifetime the church take a greater stand and be more adamant about politics than at any point, I think, in our history. Now, this gets me crossways with some of my fellow pastors. I believe that as a pastor standing in this pulpit and standing as I am before you this morning, I believe it's okay for me to address issues from a biblical standpoint. But I hear pastors now saying that they want to see some of the things changed and rules and laws changed because they want to stand in the pulpit and tell you who to vote for. You know what? I know who I'm going to vote for in the elections. But Pauline, it's not up to me as your pastor to tell you who to vote for. My job is to tell you that you need to pray about who you should vote for and let God direct you in your vote. And you know what? Tommy and I may not always vote for the same person. Now, actually, I've had conversations with Tommy. I think most of the time Tommy and I probably do vote for the same person. But occasionally we might disagree and not vote for the same person. But you know what? In the overall scheme of eternity, who cares? We're doing what we're supposed to do to be good citizens here, but let's not become so bogged down in being a citizen of this world that we forget our real citizenship, the real place that we are going to be should be vested in and have the rights and privileges and duties of is heaven, not earth. Here's what one commentary says. As followers of Christ, our new designation as God's own possession sets us apart from the corrupt ways in this world. We are part of Christ's kingdom. Go to the next slide, please, son. As John 18:36 says, Christ's kingdom is not of this world. We are not identified with, nor do we give into, the deceptive and destructive influences of surrounding society. For now, we live in a country to which we do not fully belong. We are simply passing through to a better country, as Hebrews 11:16 says. Our true citizenship is with Christ in heaven, as we're told in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, the first part. Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven. Therefore, as Romans 12:2 says, we are not to conform to the world's pattern and practices. You see, Jesus says it like this. in Matthew 6:21. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Simply put another way, who's next slide? I want to read this correctly. Next one, son. What you place value on or in is what determines your true citizenship. Let that sink in. What you place your value on or place value in is what determines your true citizenship. Let me simplify that. What you give the most of your time and money to is what is really valuable to you, and that's where your citizenship is and where your heart is. We're not live? Well, that's all right. We'll just flip it around here. Here you go. For those of you on Facebook, we're coming into it in the middle. We apologize. You can hear it on our church website in full. I want this to sink in because I look around at the church in America today, and can I tell you it has changed a lot in my lifetime, and some of the changes have been good, but not all of the changes have been good. You're quiet on that one. I think it's good that we're reaching out into our communities more. I think it's fine that we encourage people to pray and devote their conscience and devote the way they think God would have them to. But can I tell you, when the church becomes more concerned, now listen to me, when you become more upset by what the Republican Party or the Democrat Party is doing than you are about what the devil is doing, we've got a problem. And no, please don't sit there and tell me that the political party you're not a part of is the devil, okay? They're not. Can I tell you one of the reasons why we're in such a mess politically in our nation is because the church stopped being the church. We stopped remembering and realizing that our citizenship is in heaven, not here. There's an old song we sang when I was a kid. And I know what the song is trying to say, but I think we've misconstrued it. The old song says, just like a tree planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Now, I understand the song is talking about in our faith and in our walk with Christ, we will not be moved. We're going to plant deep in Him. But the problem is, too many of us, we've removed ourselves from the riverbank of what God's doing, and we went and planted ourselves in some other place, and we're more concerned than we are about the things of heaven. Peter says, I want you to understand, you're aliens here, you're strangers here, you're sojourners, you're travelers. Why is it important that we remember that? He says, you need to remember that and you need to abstain from simple desires. I like that the word abstain. I like to know what words mean. I think so many times we get up and we read these things and we try to teach what it says and we just kind of assume people know what words mean. And I'm finding out that people don't always know what words mean. Abstain means to, and I want you to get this one. It means to choose not to do or have something. To refrain deliberately. If you're taking notes, I want you to underline that word deliberately. And often with an effort of self-denial from an action or practice. Let me give that one to you again. To abstain from something means to choose not to do or have something. It means to refrain deliberately and often with an effort of self-denial from an action or a practice. Now listen to me. While it's true that God, through the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives, will assist us and give us strength to do this, we must put forth the effort to abstain. You cannot say, Lord God, you know all these things I want to do that aren't pleasing to you. Would you just keep me from doing them? It doesn't work that way. You've got to put forth something. You've got to put forth effort. Look, if your problem, and I'll try to use something that I don't want to offend anybody. If your problem is that you overeat bananas, and God speaks to you and says, Georgia, I don't want you eating bananas anymore. You cannot go hang out at Ranch Market in the fruit and veggie section and sit a chair down by all the bananas and say, God, keep me from those bananas when you're hanging out with them. You have got to avoid that part of the supermarket so you don't put yourself in a place to be tempted. But I'm running into so many people these days that they're like, well, I've asked God to help me not do it, but they won't abstain from it. They won't stay away from it. They want to go hang out with it. I'm going to take another step further. There are some of you that you're hanging around people that constantly entice you to do something you know you shouldn't do, and you won't cut them off as a friend. And I tell you what, there are friends and family members, if they're bringing you and causing you to fall into sin, you need to cut them off and stay away from them. Oh, but Pastor, in Sunday school we talked about being kind and being good. Well, sometimes you got to be kind and good to yourself, and you got to abstain from being around things and people that cause you to fall into sin. Amen. And if you're a citizen of heaven, you'll understand that. Go with me to James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. I want to show you something here that James shows us. Give me a minute to find it. It will be on the screen. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord. I'll finish the verse in a moment. I want you to look at that verse and notice all of the things that you and I are called upon to do. We are to submit. We are to resist. We are to come. We are to wash. We are to purify. We are to grieve, mourn, wail, change, and humble. Notice that. All those things that we are told to do. It doesn't say sit down and let God submit you and let God resist for you and let God come near to you and let God wash you and let God purify you, let God grieve, mourn, and wail, let God change you, let God humble you. No, it says you do those things before the Lord, and look at the last part, then he will lift you up. When we get it solidified in our hearts and our minds that we are pilgrims and strangers in this land and we are citizens of heaven, not citizens of this world, then we will understand why it's so important to abstain from evil and we'll understand our part in it. In 1 Thessalonians 5:22, in the King James Version, it says, Paul says it this way. He says, abstain from all appearance of evil. All appearance of evil. My son's telling me the microphone is slipping. This new microphone doesn't work well. There we go. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, I don't want you to answer me this question, but how many of you this week didn't even do that good? You kind of hung out close to the things you know you shouldn't because, well, you just didn't want to exercise the willpower to stay away. I think it's interesting. Paul doesn't say they're abstain from evil. He says abstain from the very appearance of evil. We're called upon to live a life that is different. Why? Because we're not citizens of this world. We're citizens of heaven. Let's look at the next part here. Why do we do all of this? He says because those things war against your soul. You need to understand, folks, we're in a battle. We're in a spiritual battle. And I've got news for you. The only time the devil will do anything nice or good for you is if he thinks he can use something nice or good to trip you up and to pull you away from God. Oh, back up one. I'm sorry, son. We find this in John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 10, the beginning of that verse says this. The thief, talking about Satan, he comes only. Say that word with me, only. Only. He has only one thing in mind. He so hates God that he hates you and wants to pull you away from God. It says the thief comes only to do three things: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And the more you understand that your citizenship is in heaven and not of this earth, the more he's going to come against you. But when you will abstain from the sinful desires, you overcome him. So let me close this morning. Short message. How deep are your roots in this world? Today is the day to loosen them and transfer your citizenship from the things of this world to the things of heaven. Amen? Amen? Amen. It's so easy to get caught up in what's going on around us that we tend to forget this is just a place we're traveling through. Years ago, when I worked in an office setting, I would have my Walkman. Most of us are old enough to remember those. And I'd put my headphones on. And there was three certain programs in the morning I liked to listen to on the radio. One of them was a preaching program. The other one was a Christian program, but unfortunately, over the course of time, the person who had that program began to see this, and he no longer has that program. He's on the radio in a totally different capacity. I don't listen to him really anymore. He's a good man. He wrote a lot of great books, but he began to drift from good advice about how to raise your family biblically and dealing with issues. He began to drift further and further into the political realm. So much so to the point that I finally came to the conclusion that I could no longer stand to listen to him. But then I also caught myself listening to a certain political analyst and talk show host. And I listened to him for several years. And Treva, I began to notice something. The more I listened to him, the more angry and agitated I was about life. Because listening to him, although I agreed with much of what he said, the more I listened to him, the more my citizenship roots began to become entangled and buried in the things of this world only. And I realized that the only way that I could uproot myself and get myself back into citizenship in heaven more than this world was I had to stop listening to him. So as we close today and as we go to prayer, my question to you is, what things in your life do you need to alter and change? What things do you need to cut off? What things do you need to maybe get rid of so that you're no longer entangled in the citizenship of this world to such a degree that you are losing your citizenship in heaven? Because the things of heaven are more important than the things of this world. This world's temporary, folks. The worst things that might happen to you in this life are only there to make you stronger so you're better prepared for eternity. Amen? So what do you need? As we stand in just a moment and go to prayer, I want you to think about those things. And as I pray for you and with you, I want you to release those things and say, Lord, help me to get my citizenship firmly implanted back in heaven where it needs to be and not so much in this life and in this world. Amen? I want you to stand with me this morning. Father, as we come to you, Lord, we ask you to forgive us for becoming at times so enamored with the things of this world that we forget that our real citizenship and our real home is in heaven. Lord, remind us that Christ went away to prepare a place for us, and he's preparing an eternal home for us. This is all just temporary. We're just traveling through. Lord, we know you've given us jobs and tasks to do. You want us to be good examples, good ambassadors of you here, and to be good citizens in this world, but not at the expense of neglecting our citizenship in heaven. So, Lord God, today, whatever there might be that we need to release, that we need to break away from to make that happen, Lord, let us be willing to do that. May your Holy Spirit empower us to do it. Lord, as we leave here today, help us to go out and to let people see what a citizen of heaven is all about, not in a phony way, but in a real way, so that they see you working through us, even in our imperfections. And we'll give you praise and glory and honor for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen.